The anchor holds. Quite an incredible image. I just want to put my plug in for Wednesday night. I know that Wednesday night is people celebrating some things that we may not totally agree with. But it used to be a religious holiday. And I think it's time for us to take it back. I think it's definitely time for us to take it back. It used to be All Saints, All Hallows Eve is what it used to be in the church. And it turned into Halloween. The exciting thing about it for me is I don't have to travel around on Wednesday night per se to share the love of Jesus Christ with about 2,000 or 3,000 people. They're going to come to us. And I'm one of the reasons I'm glad that they're going to come to us is because the mountain of candy that is in the conference room will disappear on Wednesday night. And now I told you where the candy vault is, so I hope it will still be there come Wednesday, because there is a tremendous amount in there. And I thank you for what you've done, and I especially want to thank Dollar Tree for what they've done for us. We are overwhelmed by what Dollar Tree has done for us. They didn't per se donate candy to us, but they put boxes at every cash register and asked people if they'd like to donate some. And we have had mountains of candy come in that way. So I appreciate what Dollar Tree did for us, and that's through the efforts of Emery. I appreciate Emery for knowing how to talk with those folks and getting some folks to sign up. And Rule King gave us a tremendous amount also. Food Lion, it was just incredible what people have done so that the kids can have a safe place on Wednesday night. And we will have a safe place. It looks like the street's going to be filled from Spring Street all the way to Withers, because every day more and more people have called Bonnie and asked, can we be part of what's going on? So hopefully there's enough parking spaces out there. If not, we'll all be mushed up together as we share the love of Jesus Christ with people in a time when they may be thinking about something else. So I hope that you can be here to be part of that. Today we're going to look at Psalm 34 about an interactive relationship. The notes that we have on Psalm 34 right before it in most translations say that this is a Psalm of David. When he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. So these were written by a man who was pretending to be insane. Now, if you want to find that scripture of where that story is, that's in 1 Samuel chapter 21, about midway through that chapter. I can't explain to you why the king's name is different in that chapter than it is at the beginning of this psalm. I don't know why. Maybe he had two names that he was referred to from different directions. But there is a different king's name in that chapter, and I just want to make you aware of that. Listen to these words that David writes. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and God heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. There's something different about Christianity and many of the other religions around the world. Many of the other religions give people a list of things, of do's and don'ts, and what you need to accomplish and what you need to do in your life. You need to do this and you shouldn't do this. You need to do this and you shouldn't do this. And many of those religions give that over and over and over again. And people learn by rote on what needs to be done and how to use those situations in everyday life. Now, please don't get me wrong. The Bible gives us a whole lot of understanding about how we should act, how we should reach out, how we should do things, how we should share with folks, how we should approach folks. We have those guidelines. But there's something different about Christianity that's not the same with most other world religions. You see, Christianity is about, or Christianity is different in that it centers on relationships, not just guidelines. Christianity centers on relationships, not just guidelines. Relationships are very important in Christianity. When you read about the church, and this past Wednesday night, we talked some about the church and about some of the scriptures and the understanding of the doctrine of the church and what that means for us as Baptists. We talked about that on Wednesday night, looked at some of those scriptures that are very important in the New Testament to gather a better understanding about the church. It's about a community of believers that interact together. And unless we interact together, we're not the church. Don't get me wrong. I grew up loving the Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger's a hero of mine. Comes out of nowhere, and he solves every problem there is. Matter of fact, I can't think of a single episode that I ever saw or read about that the Lone Ranger didn't solve it. Now, we still wonder why Tonto calls him Kemosabe. Nobody seems to know what that means. And there's lots of jokes about that. And if you don't know that, just look that up. Don't ask me how to spell Kemosabe. You just started. Google will get the rest of it for you. But you see, as Christians, we can't be Lone Rangers. It's about interactive relationships. It's about relationships with our sisters and brothers. Constance came for baptism today, and we made a commitment to stand with her, to walk with her, to listen as God speaks through her, to share with her the insight and the wisdom we have from walking with God for many, many years. The Great Commission talks about teaching others all that Christ has taught, about walking with others, about being there with them, about encouraging them and lifting them up. But most importantly, Christianity is about having a relationship with God. It's about loving God in a deep and a powerful relationship. It's not about coming and appeasing a God by bringing gifts and sacrifices and offerings, although that is part of our responsibility as a Christian. It's about having a relationship with God. What do you take to heaven with you when you go? Only relationships. That's all you take. There's so much more that we might want to take and so much more that we dream that we can take. Like the man that wanted to take his whole savings account. So he gave it to the pastor and he said, "Before they close the casket, will you please put this money in the casket?" And somebody saw the pastor go up and put something in the casket right before they closed it. And they asked the pastor, "Did you really do that?" He said, "Yeah, I put a check in there. Let's see him cash it." You see, not all that goes with us. What goes with us is relationships. That's what goes with us. Our relationships with sisters and brothers in the community of faith, our relationship with God. That's what goes to heaven with us. That's what David lived on. You see, this psalm is full of active verbs, things that happened, things that were continuing, things that went on. David says, I extolled the Lord. I lifted up the Lord. I continued. Praise was always on my lips. It's again and again and again a time of coming to God and lifting up who God is. And God heard him when he cried out. He says it even in the third person. He said, this poor man called. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. It's about a relationship. It's about an ongoing process. Some of you asked me where my wife is today, and the truth is, I don't know right now. She went to visit her folks for this weekend, and she may be on the way back home by now. I don't know. That's why I say I don't know where she is. Haven't gotten a text message yet to tell me that she's left. So I don't know, but she's off with her folks. So this weekend, it's just been me at home. It's been me and the Lord. A time to spend some time talking with the Lord about some things. Time to take a break. I didn't do any housework, and I'm not planning on doing any before she comes home. I sat in one place, and I didn't mess anything up, okay? For those of you that think I messed the house up, she's going to come back and clean it all up. No, I spent some time doing some things I wanted to do, but I also did spend some time talking a little bit more with God about deepening that interpersonal relationship with God actively, not standing back waiting for God to do something, but interacting with God. You see, when we read this psalm, in this psalm, The taste, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in God. Taste in this psalm has a different sense than what we think. It has the sense of take a taste and sample this relationship. It has this sense of, I just cooked a new meal for you that you've never seen before, and I'm saying taste it. Sample it. Take some of it, and as you take it, you will find out how blessed it is and how much you love it. Taste it and take a chance. That's what David is saying in the psalm. Taste the Lord and see how good he is. Take a chance. Taste a little bit more. I mean, I remember our kids were growing up, and they were like, ooh, I'm not eating that. And I'm like, why are you not eating that? Oh, because I don't like that. Have you ever had that? Nope. And I'm not going to. And I was like, taste it. Taste it and see. And your hope as a parent is that they're going to go, oh, this is pretty good. But the reality is they always taste it, and whether they like it or not, they look at you and go, oh, that's terrible. I'm not eating that. But David says, taste. Take another taste. Go a little bit deeper. Take a chance. Take a risk. Go deeper in your relationship with God and find out how blessed you can be when you take refuge in the Lord. What good is it to have a shelter to get out of the storm if you don't get in the shelter when the storm shows up? Did you ever think about that? It's wonderful to have the Lord as a refuge, but that refuge is for all time, not just during the storm. Take a taste. I encourage you, and I'm going to continue to always encourage you as long as I'm your pastor, find ways to remind yourself to turn to God during the day. Find ways to do that. Find things that will encourage you to turn from where you are towards God. Things that might remind you, whether it's carrying something in your pocket, and no, I don't have anything in my pocket to remind me of God. But I do wear these prayer beads. And you won't believe how many comments I get on these prayer beads. I wear these prayer beads, one, to keep me centered on God, to keep me turning back to God. At the end of it, it has two sets of three beads. And sometimes you might catch me in the middle of a meeting, a meal, sitting somewhere. I will have these beads in my other hand, and I will be touching them. And especially the three beads will remind me of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and how I need to turn to them, and how I need to come closer to them. These beads have been an opening, as I've worn them, for people to ask me, hey, what is that? Because people do. I've even had a couple of people say, I really like your prayer beads. And I'm like, you know what? I'm excited that you know what they are. And it gives me an opportunity to talk to them about prayer. But it's something, as it moves around on my wrist, that sometimes reminds me to turn back to God in the midst of the day, to deepen my interactive relationship with God. And that's why I say, if it's something you want to carry in your pocket, carry it in your pocket. I know some people who carry a little cross in their pocket so that when they stick their hand in their pocket and they touch the cross, they will be reminded to turn to God. There's no trick about it. This is no good luck charm. That's not what this is. No good luck charm whatsoever. It's just something to help me continue to turn to that relationship with God that I need all the time. And maybe you need something like that to help you turn to God. Folks, I can't emphasize enough that it's about relationships. It's about being interactive with sisters and brothers in Christ. It's about being interactive with God. God wants that. God desires that. Young adult Sunday school class, we've been learning about Job, and we finished up the book of Job today. And there's even a piece in the book of Job towards the end of the book where God has come to Job and said, hey, were you there when I did this? Were you there when I made the earth? Were you there when I made the animals? Were you there? Do you know where I keep the rain? Do you know where the wind comes from? And Job says this, which I learned a great deal from. Job says, I have learned. I put my hand over my mouth and I will not speak again. And God says, no. I need you to speak. I need you to interact with me. And God even goes on to tell his three friends, who are not wonderful friends, by the way, go to Job that he might pray for you so that you can live. Because you three guys got it wrong the whole time you talked about me, God says. And Job never did. Get Job to pray for you so I don't kill you. It's about interaction. It's about talking with God. It's about listening to God. It's about interaction with sisters and brothers in the faith. So I ask you, are you ready to have that kind of relationship? Are you willing to be more interactive in your relationship with God than you've ever been before? Are you willing to be more interactive in your relationship with God? Let's take a moment to do that. Lord, we come to you, recognizing and knowing how much we need you. We come to you admitting to you that sometimes we get so involved in ourselves, in our own agenda, in our own schedule, in our own things, that we fail to interact in relationships in the community of faith. and we fail to interact in our relationship with you. Lord, forgive us. Help us to be much more active in that relationship. To not sit back and wait, but to enter into a deeper conversation with you, with our sisters, and with our brothers. That there might be some incredibly dynamic relationships we take to heaven with us. And that through those relationships, that this community at large that you have placed us in might come to know a little bit more about you, a God who wants to walk with them personally. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.